I'll tell you, it's so valuable to be pouring into somebody else that's maybe not quite as, you know, far along as you are, but then again, leading or getting input from somebody who is a few steps ahead. And so, well, I would encourage any manager, leader type to be looking for those opportunities and be intentional about those and don't just make sure they're not secret. Like, hey, Eric, you're a mentor of mine. And I'm like, really? I had no idea. Yeah, well, man, make sure you put a little bit of formality around those to get the most benefit.
Welcome to Management Development Unlocked, where you will learn how to nurture a world-class management team. And now your host, Eric Girard.
Welcome back to Management Development Unlocked. I am overjoyed that you're here. Please remember to review the show. That really helps get it out to as many listeners as possible and helps grow the show. Today, I am delighted to have Rusty Fulling with me. Rusty, welcome to the show. Who are you and what do you do?
Hey, Eric. Hey, thanks for having me, man. I love what you're doing in the management leadership development space. So Rusty Fulling out of Olathe, Kansas, and I'm founder and CEO of Fulling Management and Accounting, and we serve business leaders around the country in kind of the accounting space and just helping them get clarity, grow profits, and gain peace of mind.
Fantastic. Well, paying attention to the numbers is a part of a manager's job, so I'm really glad that you are here with us today.
Sounds great. Sounds great.
All right. Well, let's jump in. Our topic today is 5 key habits of winning leaders, and I've got just a list of questions for you, Rusty. We may not get to all of them, but we'll see how far we get.
Sounds good.
The first question I've got for you is regarding consistency, and I'm just wondering, you know, you talk a lot about this in a variety of places. Yeah. Isn't being a consistent leader boring?
Absolutely. Yes, it can be. And, you know, I it's interesting over the years, we've gotten to see several managers and leaders, and sometimes the boring helps really create more of a positive impact. People know what to expect when you show up to work each day. So as a manager, we've worked with some managers that you don't know if you're getting the good one today or the bad one, but just having that consistency can really, my goodness, it can really help your team and those you're leading. Just know what to expect and really brings peace to the environment. So yeah, I'd say definitely there could be some boringness to it, but there's also some peace of mind that can come out of that as well.
Well, let's double click on that a little bit and let's talk about the value that consistency can bring to the team that you're leading.
Yeah. Yeah. We've seen really three values that can come out of that. One is just respect. If you're a manager and you know you're looking to build respect within your team, just bringing the consistent leadership daily, that's just so big. And that kind of leads into the next piece is integrity. You know, if your actions are lining up with your words, it just creates that realness within a team. And so I think that integrity piece is it. And then authenticity is the last one. And man, don't pretend to be something you're not. And so all of that is part of that consistency. Don't be something different outside of work than you are in work. So I think those are what we've seen in the best leaders that we've worked with.
You know, and I would have to agree because my first stint as a manager, I put on airs. It's the only way I can say it. I tried to be somebody I wasn't, and it did not go well. My team saw through it. I was acting out of alignment with who I really was. And basically, it was painful for everybody. So I love this value that you've got here of consistency.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, if you think about even developing that as a habit, you know, you go to the gym, it's not going to be natural, maybe day one, but just those daily reps of that consistency, boy, people just know what to expect, you know, long term. So really good habit to begin with.
Oh, I'm finally going back to the gym after having a cold for a while. And so I'm really excited about that.
Sounds great. Yes. I love it.
All right. Let's talk next about curiosity. And here I'm interested in knowing why would a manager want to practice curiosity with their team?
Yeah, I think this one sometimes goes overlooked where we just, get into the let's get it done mode. And sometimes taking a step back and just being curious about, boy, each team member's, you know, what's going on in their life. Boy, that can be a big one. And sometimes just asking for their opinion. It's amazing the innovation, problem solving when we take a little bit of time to do that. And we work with some companies in the scientific industry, and boy, some of the best ideas come out of asking the team, hey, I'm curious, what are your thoughts, you know, on this, Eric? And oh my goodness, I mean, you just get some incredible feedback and technology that can come out of that. So stay curious with your team. It builds trust and just helps engage and build morale within the team. So those would be, again, some benefits that come out of staying curious with your team members.
Okay. Well, then double-clicking on this one,
yeah.
How could I apply curiosity to my leadership, to my business, and to my community?
Yeah. Sometimes it's being intentional. And it's a little kind of going back to that gym analogy is a little bit at a time. We've seen some managers go into their calendar and say, let me ask one curious question today, or let me dive into one, you know, task around curiosity today. So sometimes it can be very granular in breaking it down, but just that reminder, if, you know, for those that it's not natural for, that's a good way to start.
All right. Excellent. Well, let's pivot to mentorship next. Mentorship is something I used to run the mentor program at my last real job.
Yeah.
And so I'm interested, what do you think the difference is between a mentor and an influencer, or maybe between mentor, influencer, and coach?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, often I'll hear folks say, oh, I've got some great mentors I listen to on the podcast all the time. And we were having a conversation with some other leaders around this topic. And somebody said something about, well, maybe that's an influencer and not a mentor, not even, you know, or not a coach. And so part of what we were describing in that mentoring, or I'll even kind of put mentoring and coach a little bit in this bucket, is influencers often is a one-way relationship. I'm just listening. I'm, you know, learning, which is great. But those mentorship opportunities, boy, those can be so powerful when you have that two-way relationship. I was talking to some mentors that said it is so beneficial for them to get that feedback from the mentee. And so don't take that opportunity away from the mentors as well. And I think mentors often, what we've seen and the leaders we've get to work with is they can be very much a, let me share my experience with you and kind of maybe somebody that's a little bit ahead of you in business. A coach can often be more of a director, go out and play the game, and let me give you some coaching ideas. And so I think there's opportunity for all three, but definitely the mentor, coach versus influencer, you know, one's two-way and then or a couple of them are two-way relationships and one are one-way. So all are valuable. All are valuable.
Okay, awesome. Well, where have you personally found value in a mentor? I know I've got a number of mentors right now. I've had mentors throughout my working life and couldn't have gotten where I am now without these people. Yeah. So how about you?
Yeah. Where I've often found those is in different areas of life. It could be personal, could be a relationship with a father-in-law who's just incredible on things like generosity and family values. And I think of a business leader who, you know, is running a large organization that can speak into, you know, business and managing multiple people and growth and all those kind of things. And I think of even in the church world, you know, having a pastor or a small group leader that can come along beside you in that avenue as well. And so those have been some that have been extremely valuable for me over the years is mm-hmm. kind of that personal, business, and even spiritual.
Yeah. I totally agree. And in all three realms as well. So good stuff. Well, should a manager be a mentor or a mentee?
Yes. Yes.
I knew that was coming.
I had a leader challenge me years ago, and they said, hey, you need to go out and find somebody to mentor. And I thought, oh, that's easy. You know, we can find a younger business leader and come along beside them. But then he didn't stop. He said, oh, also you need to find somebody to mentor you. And I thought, oh, shoot, I've got to be a recipient of that. And I'll tell you, it's so valuable to be pouring into somebody else that's maybe not quite as, you know, far along as you are, but then again, leading or getting input from somebody who is a few steps ahead. And so, well, I would encourage, any manager leader type to be looking for those opportunities and be intentional about those and don't just make sure they're not secret. Like, mm-hmm. Hey, Eric, you're a mentor of mine. And I'm like, really? I had no idea. Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. Man, make sure you put a little bit of formality around those to get the most benefit.
Yeah. I've even gone so far as to create agreements between mentors and mentees. Yes. You know, this is what you can expect from me. This is what I need from you, just so that it's clear, you know, and there are some guardrails and boundaries.
Yeah, absolutely. There's been times where, you know, even in our business where people have come and said, hey, could you mentor me? And we describe, you know, or we ask, what are you looking for? And sometimes it's a disconnect. It's not, you know, they're not looking for a mentor. They're maybe looking for a quick cheerleader to, you know, point them in the right direction and that's it. So yeah, definitely. I think setting some guardrails, some guidelines around that, those relationships, again, that's where you're going to get the most value from.
Yep, absolutely. Well, I think adjacent to this is the concept of being an effective listener and being a great encourager. So how can listening effectively boost morale in your team?
Yeah, one of the things we're doing internally with our company is we're actually splitting the leadership role, where we've had kind of the CEO role has been a little bit flat as far as leadership. And so we're adding a COO to our team. And what that does for my role is kind of that CEO is it actually changes it from chief executive officer to chief encouragement officer. And so the whole idea is my role will actually be more into that, boy, listening and understanding what the needs are and getting to spend time with the team, with people outside the company. And sometimes, you know, a lot of times people will say, well, I'm not that rah-rah or touchy-feely kind of person to go out and, you know, encourage people just naturally. But, you know, you can do that through, I mean, just verbal praise, you know, just, boy, great job on that project or even a written compliment. Boy, handwritten notes these days, you know, is extremely valuable. And so could be a handwritten note, could just be a text or an email even. But the last thing I'll say about that is sometimes listening and asking, how would you like to be praised? How would you like to be encouraged? And you know, some people say, hey, give me a bonus. Well, okay, that's how they like to be, you know, encouraged. And others, that word of affirmation is really huge. And so understanding what the team members are looking for individually, that's been huge.
You know, it reminds me of something that I talk about in one of my courses, and that is when you're providing feedback, especially positive feedback, think about what's going to land best with that person. So for example, if you want to make me feel good, bring me up in front of the all hands, talk to me in front of the entire organization and say, Eric absolutely killed it on that podcast with Rusty, you know, and make a big deal of it. And by the way, a bonus wouldn't be bad either, right? And, you know, other people, that might make them want to cringe and crawl under a table. So you don't do that to them. That would be demotivating. Yeah. So being really clear on what makes people feel good, you know, and sometimes just, as you said, a quiet word of affirmation off to the side is what's going to motivate them and make them want to do more. Yeah. And doing what you want, what you would prefer, might have the opposite effect on them.
Yeah, absolutely. We actually ask that when we onboard team members to our company, we actually ask them, how do you like to receive praise or, you know, that type of thing. And so it's helpful. So, you know, day one, I'm not going to embarrass this person by bringing him on stage and, you know, they're just, that's really helpful. It just helps you get to know people better. So for any manager, man, the more you can invest and listen and, you know, encourage your team. And sometimes encouragement doesn't always have to be, you know, hey, great job, because sometimes great jobs aren't being done. Mm-hmm. And so it could be encouraging them to make a change in their career path or, you know, and so, but you can do that appropriately and you know, in a positive way. So.
Okay. That's awesome. Right on. Cool. Well, let's pretend for the sake of argument that I am not naturally a touchy-feely person. You know, I am not into this squishy stuff. How could I, being completely straight-faced and calm and, you know, which is completely not how I am, but just for the sake of argument, how could I encourage others if I was in that situation?
Yeah. Yeah, I know of a manager that's, you know, describes, you know, what you just described, that would be them. What they've done is they've put a system around that. And what, you know, they'll send out a gift card for a coffee shop, or they'll have their assistant send that out for them, you know, you have a raving fan, but the idea is they've leveraged that well, or they've put a system behind that. So it's, let me press a button and I've just affirmed that person without having to go and get all squishy there. So, so there's definitely some creative ways to do that. And again, you know, that just a short note, a quick text, an email, that can go a long way. Again, depending on what the recipient, you know, what means the most for the recipient.
Nice. So you can delegate it without being so corporate about it. You can delegate, but still have a human touch to it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. 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 I think setting systems, and that's a great, you know, great segue in systems. Man, there's so many things you can do these days with automation and AI and things like that to, you know, when somebody does something well. I mean, a good example in our company is we have raving fan awards. Mm-hmm. And so when somebody does something well, we automatically, boom, they get a gift card and a little word of affirmation. And, you know, it's amazing. They're not huge dollar amounts, but boy, those just pay dividends because it's that I've seen what you've done, and let me acknowledge that.
Yep. All right. Good stuff. Well, my last topic for you today is about constant learning and growth. And let's say that you're in a scenario where the company is not growing you. It's not pouring into you, to use your words. What should you do?
Yeah, I'll tell a story about our business. So for years, we just kind of grew at a snail's pace and just did not have any huge growth. And I think it was about year 12 that it was a little bit of a burnout period and part of that rejuvenation or revisioning came through reading, joining advisory groups. And that wasn't a, hey, the company's going to do this for you. Some of that was self-imposed. And so we often see managers in the different companies we work with that say, oh, the company's not growing me. Question we'd ask is, how are you growing yourself? Mm. It's not always the business owner's responsibility necessarily. I think there's some in there, but man, there's so many opportunities out there to grow yourself. And in doing so, man, you might be able to actually implement some processes within your company and grow your team that you're managing. Mm-hmm. So, definitely. I think a lot of that we need to take on ourselves and not depend on somebody else to grow us.
Yep. Yep. Well, what are some resources available to help a person get started in regular learning and growth?
Yeah, yeah. Of course, there's some great podcasts. I think you actually host one, which is great. There's other groups like EntreeLeadership.com mm-hmm. is a great one. Path for Growth is another really good leadership. The Global Leadership Network is another great podcast group. Each of those also have some summits that you can actually go to in person that are geared towards, you know, leaders, not necessarily business owners, not necessarily managers, but, you know, really anybody who's a leader in a company. And so those are definitely one. Those take dollars. If you've got a lower budget, man, the library, you know, let's go into the library and getting books. One book that I would definitely encourage managers to be looking for is one called How to Lead When You're Not in Charge by mm-hmm. Clay Scroggins. And just a good book on, you know, hey, I'm not at the top of the food chain, but how can I make impact to make this organization better? And so that would be one. And then anything by Patrick Lencioni these mm-hmm. days would be a good one. The Ideal Team Player is pretty popular. The Advantage by Patrick Lencioni, those would be a couple. But definitely just, you know, starting to read, listen to books if you're not a paper book, you know, paperback reader, but and then podcast, you know, that's going to help grow you. Those would be some things that I'd definitely jump into.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, well, Patrick Lencioni is one of my favorite authors, so yeah. Outstanding recommendation there. I would also suggest HBR.org.
Okay.
You can get a lot of good stuff for free on the Harvard Business Review's website.
Yes.
And a subscription to HBR is not that expensive, so considering that. LinkedIn Learning is fantastic and not very expensive. So good thing to be doing, you know, especially if you're between jobs.
Yes.
Doing some LinkedIn learning and adding these things to your LinkedIn profile. Hey, I've got this certificate. I've done this. I've done that. That shows that you're not just sitting on your hands waiting for a job to come. It's like I am actively growing my skill set. That's really good. And then, as you might know, I wrote a book, Lead Like a Pro, The Essential Guide for New Managers, is a great primer on how to be a manager. So I would definitely throw that on the list as well.
Yep. Excellent.
Yeah. Good stuff. Well, let's talk about you. I understand that you run a management and accounting firm. Tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I started April Fool's Day of all days several years ago, and just been a great opportunity to get to work with number of leaders across the country, and so we again provide the accounting, bookkeeping, and CFO services. And what's really fun about that is using numbers to actually change lives and make impact in business owners and leaders' lives. And so that's what we've gotten to do and continue to do. And so it's just been a lot of fun. So we've worked with companies that are extremely innovative, creating new products for market, to those mom and pop shops that's been around for years. And it's just been fun to come along beside them and help them get that clarity and grow and just get that peace of mind.
Nice. Awesome. So that is Fulling Management and Accounting.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Now, I saw a post from you today. Today is Valentine's Day. And you told a little story to anybody who was on LinkedIn today about how you met your wife. Do you want to tell us about that?
No, I don't. But I'll go ahead and do it anyway. So no.
Hold on. You don't have to if you don't want.
No, I'm kidding.
All right.
So, So when my wife and I started dating, she was in college and I had just graduated. And so I had bought a small package of the little kids' Valentine's cards for Valentine's Day and put little notes on each individual one and thought I would be very creative and put those in her car. So the next morning when she got up, she would be, you know, bombarded by all these wonderful messages and romantic messages. And lo and behold, her dad was taking her car in for service the next day. So, so Bob and I have become friends over the last several years, and 32 years later, I was wishing my wife a happy Valentine's Day, and also my father-in-law. So,
oh, that's hilarious.
those are the fun stories.
So. Yeah, that's a good one. I have never accidentally wished my father-in-law a happy Valentine's Day. That must have been cringy, embarrassing.
it was embarrassing, but all in good fun. So
that's good.
Yeah. He was a great sport and still is about it.
So, good. Yes. That's excellent. Right on. Well, thank you, Rusty. What a marvelous conversation. Tell us how we can find you if we want to learn more.
Absolutely. Rusty Fulling on LinkedIn is a good way. And then Fulling, MGMT, fullingmanagement.com would be another good way as well. But I appreciate you having me on. And again, love what you're doing towards growing managers and the next generation of leaders.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you very much. And thank you for listening. I'm really glad that you came and listened to us today. Please subscribe to the show and connect with me on LinkedIn. And you can also pick up my book, Lead Like a Pro, The Essential Guide for New Managers, available on Amazon. And we will catch you on the next one. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Management Development Unlocked. Want more? Get a ton of insider tips and tools at GerardTrainingSolutions.com.